This is Father Ted, and you are listening to the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. Today, I was just going to wanted to reflect a little bit on my own personal jiu-jitsu journey. I know I had mentioned some of it with some of the previous guests that we had. But I wanted to just kind of talk a little bit more about, you know, my own journey and how I got into jiu-jitsu and the effect that it's had on my life. Of course, I've covered this on the Fighting Priest podcast as well, but I wanted to kind of cover it here since we've been, you know, interviewing a bunch of different people and hearing their journeys. And I just kind of wanted to let all you all know, you know, why I got into this. And really, it's interesting that, as I said, I've been doing it for about 5.5 years. And if we kind of skip back to about 6 years ago, I was at a time in my life where I wasn't feeling very great. I was very overweight and I was burned out. You know, for those who know a little bit about the priesthood, it is a very taxing and very complex job. And it takes a lot out of you, a lot of hours. And if you don't have a life balance, like a work-life balance, and you don't know, you know, how to take care of yourself, then a lot of priests, they burn out. And usually this burnout takes the form of both physical burnout and also psychological burnout. And I was definitely there because I didn't have anything in my life to counterbalance, you know, the constant giving that you're doing. And so that's why I was really overweight and kind of depressed and not really able to kind of function except for just kind of work all the time. So, you know, at the time that I joined my dojo, you know, I kind of had to force myself to do it. And it was actually my eldest son who is, when I say my eldest son, George, he's one of two twins, him and his sister, Katerina. He's 2 minutes older than her. So he's my eldest son. And he was young at the time. He's 13 now. So he was like 7 or 8, I think, at the time. And he really wanted to try it out. And, you know, also, quite frankly, we didn't really have the money because, you know, jiu-jitsu is very expensive. We didn't have the money to do that. But he really wanted to do it. And I wanted to kind of put him into that kind of world. I thought it would be really good for him, good for his character, good for physically and mentally. And so I signed him up. And, you know, when I signed him up, I also thought, well, why not sign up with him? Because this way, not only will I be forced to kind of, you know, spend money I don't have, which will force me to go because I don't want to waste money I don't have. And also it will create an accountability because, you know, who wants to be a quitter in front of their kid? And this was kind of like the impetus, right? My son kind of pulled me into it. And also the other impetus was my friend, Father Thomas Sandberg, who is my spiritual son and also an Orthodox priest. And he had been doing it for quite some time at that moment. And he was telling me about jiu-jitsu for many years. And so he had planted the seed inside of me. But I guess it was my son who kind of watered it and gave it growth. And so I signed up with my son. And that was kind of the beginning. And as I said in a previous podcast, you know, I showed up at a lunchtime class because I figured, hey, I'm ashamed. I'm 370 pounds. I'm not very athletic anymore. I don't know what I'm doing, so I better go to something small where there's not a lot of people, where I can kind of, you know, screw up in front of the least amount of people. And thank God it was a really good class. There was about, I think, 12 or 13 people in it. And the brown belt at the time, now a black belt, Mark Brunswick, he was very, very kind. He was kind of doing a review of the week that was taught in the other classes. And he was very kind and inviting. And he kind of welcomed me into the group, into the family there at Rev. And he was always very, very gentle and very informative and very accepting and never never put me down and never criticized. You know, he just treated me like everybody else. And that was a really kind of pivotal moment for me. And so even though it was terrifying stepping on the mats, I couldn't even do the warm-ups. You know, just being able to do that and having that encouragement and everybody in the class giving that encouragement, saying, you know, don't worry, it's okay if you can't do this, it's okay if you don't know how to do this. It's totally fine. You know, it's everything will be okay. You're going to learn just like we all went through it. And that kind of encouragement was really, really important for me. So that's how it started. And I stayed in it, you know, kind of just to be a father and to be a good role model for my son, but also because the community was so great. And slowly but surely, it was difficult, but I met a lot of really good friends, a lot of really good mentors. And you know, it happened right before COVID. As I said, I only trained for about almost 3 to 4 months before COVID started, the lockdowns, that is. And it was enough to keep me hooked. And then during the COVID lockdowns, we know from the story before that, you know, kind of started and continued training with people, continued training with some professors, and also established the bunker very early on. You know, that's what kind of kept me in. And then slowly, it took a long time. Slowly started losing weight, slowly started, you know, adjusting to the whole jiu-jitsu journey. Of course, that first year is so difficult because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what a guard is. You don't know how to pass. You don't know how to engage. You're just doing drills. You're learning kind of like, you start getting bits of jiu-jitsu, like little techniques here and there, but you have no clue how they kind of all relate to each other. You have no clue how they string together. You have no clue how to kind of incorporate them into the bigger picture. It's like having a 500-piece puzzle. And you're starting, you know, here's one piece, here's another piece, here's another piece. And you literally have like maybe 6 or 7 pieces of a 500-piece puzzle. And you don't know what the final picture is supposed to be. You don't know what the final image is that you're putting together. And you don't know where the pieces go together. How do they fit together? And there's pieces missing. You don't even have access to them yet. So it's very, very frustrating. But, you know, you keep at it and slowly things start coming together and the kind of grand picture starts to come together. And so, you know, slowly with a lot of good friendships and a lot of encouragement, I kept at it. And of course, it took some time. It took about 2 years to kind of come slowly to the end of, almost 2.5 years, come close to the end of white belt. I didn't compete until I was a 4-stripe white belt. And that was a really good thing too. You know, of course, being a white belt, you don't know anything and you start getting excited when things open up again, you want to go compete. I was like, oh, I was asking my professors, I want to go compete. My professors were like, no, you don't know what you're saying. You should wait a little bit because you don't know anything yet. You don't know what you don't know. And that was very frustrating for me because I didn't realize the wisdom in that. And so my professors were like, you know, wait a little bit, wait until you have a more solid foundation, wait until you know how to kind of build a game, and then you can go and have a good experience with competition. And so I didn't compete until I was a 4-stripe white at the end of white belt. And that was actually a blessing because by that time I was somewhat competent in my game, and my first competition, which was the Ontario Provincials, I won gold. And that was a very positive experience for me because I was able to execute, you know, everything that it was kind of like the culmination of that initial phase of my jiu-jitsu journey. And that was good. It was important for my professors. It was important for them, for me not to have a negative experience the first time that I went to a competition, to not be demoralized and not to be afraid. And of course, anybody who competes, they know that it is so difficult to compete because of the nerves, because of the fear, to master that fear, to overcome it. I'm glad that I had that experience because then that gave me, again, another nudge to move forward and to start competing, you know, as often as possible and to know how to prepare properly for a competition. So, as I said, I think I've competed like maybe 15 or 16 times now, as a 4-stripe blue now up to this point, 5.5 years, and they've all been positive experiences. You don't always win, but you know, you try to do your best. And more often than not, I usually medal, which is a testament to my professors and to the kind of preparation that I've been able to kind of put together, and to kind of be calm under pressure in a competition. And all of that happened because of the building blocks that were kind of laid out for me, slowly, you know, from the very, very beginning. I don't know if I had a different journey or if I had different people, maybe not as supportive and not as encouraging, maybe my journey would have been different, or maybe I wouldn't still be in jiu-jitsu at all. So, and maybe if I didn't have the bunker and we didn't have, you know, that kind of support system during the lockdowns, you know, the seed that was planted might have been killed right away. You know, that seed, that 3 month, 4 month seed that was planted before the lockdowns. Well, if I didn't train then for the next, you know, year and a half, 2 years, as many people did not train, it might have extinguished the little progress that I had made, and I would have never continued with jiu-jitsu. And I know a lot of people who kind of never came back after the COVID lockdowns. And so, you know, all those things happened. They took place at the right time, at the right place, meeting the right types of people to help me along my way. And so I'm really, really grateful for all the things that happened. I'm grateful for the COVID lockdowns, even for giving me the time, a break from work, to work myself, to train, to lose weight, to exercise, to really focus on that part of my life, so that when everything did reopen again, I had a good rhythm and a good balance, right? So now I find that even though I am in a much bigger church now, a bigger parish that I've been transferred to for the last 2 years, one of the biggest in Canada, and it is a struggle to balance between the needs of the community and my own family needs and my own personal needs, I do find that, you know, that foundation and that, you know, consistency in training and the assertiveness that you need to kind of draw those boundaries and to make sure you kind of keep those boundaries in place and to keep that time carved out for yourself has really been invaluable to me. If I didn't have that, I would have kind of definitely slipped back into, you know, exhaustion and burnout and depression and weight gain and all these kind of things that happen when you don't pay attention to your own personal health, right? So this is like kind of like the journey that I've had so far, and it's been a wonderful one, and I hope that it's going to be one that will be a lifelong journey. I hope I'm training until I'm dead, and you know, I hope that the friendships that I've made, that I've been blessed to have in my life, also kind of stay for the rest of my life. So that's just a little bit about my journey. I just wanted to kind of you know, share that with all of you. As we are kind of exploring everybody else's journey and interviewing all these different people who have kind of crossed paths with the bunker. You know, hopefully I'll be able to listen to more of your journeys as well and your experiences and kind of share them with the rest of our listenership. Anyways, that's all I have for today. Take care, everybody, and we'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu podcast. Feel free to follow us on Instagram and YouTube. And if you want to reach out with any questions or if you're interested in being on the show, feel free to email us at bunkerjiujitsu@gmail.com. Thanks and take care.